3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience today. We want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And the number to call if you'd like to discuss with us concerning what we're talking about or ask a question, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We'd like for you to know that we're airing tonight on KTX 97.7 out of Eastland, Texas. KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Texas. KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma. We're airing on internet radio, knowthetruthradio.org, as well as the gospelradionetwork.org. We want to also remind you that we have a chat box that takes place on knowthetruthradio.org, as well as the Gospel Radio Network. And so you can, through the chat box or by calling in, ask us questions or make comments concerning our program tonight. We want to remind you of our additional sponsors. We have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, and the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. And we are delighted again to have you in our listening audience tonight. Our motto is, and will always be, you have heard what men have said. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. David, last week, we got an email toward the end of the day, or may have been the next day or that evening. Someone asked us a question via email, and that's another way that you can also contact us. The email address is questions@harrisonmoore.org, and that email goes to David's email address and also to mine. And we had a question that was asked us last week. And let me get over to where that question was. He asked us some questions. Really, David, really had two basic components. One of the things he asked was, if one is scripturally baptized, what are they added to? And then the question that we might also think about, if one is unscripturally baptized, what are they added to? And then in connection with all that, can one be taught right or be taught wrong and be baptized right? David, when a person has been baptized for the remission of their sins like they did on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38, what took place then after their sins were remitted concerning being added or not added to something?
Well, it tells us there where the Lord added them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. It says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so all of the saved were added to the church. And the question that is being asked, and we're going to get into this later on in the program. So for those of you who are very, very interested in baptism, the question is asked, if the Lord adds one to the church, as it is told us there in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, that is being baptized scripturally, he adds them to the church. What church does the Lord add one to who is not scripturally baptized? Which is a fair question, and we will address that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get that toward the latter part of the program, so be sure and stay tuned in for that. We're going to put that. It's going to actually fall into the program that we have set for you tonight. And the program that we have set for everybody tonight is the program discussing why lies are popular. And we're going to get into this. You know, Tom, we're living in an era an era that where truth in media doesn't mean much, mm-hmm. Where truth in the government doesn't mean much. It's not valued at all. As a matter of fact, we've seen through the years where even the media, the so-called news organizations that go out there and try to find fault and keep us protected, they have actually staged things that were lies, absolute lies, and put people out of business because of those things. And mm-hmm. and so we don't have the truth valued in the media. We don't have the truth valued in the government, in our politicians. It's just not valued. And even we can back off from that. And I do honestly believe that as our government goes and as our representatives go, it filters right on down to the regular populace that would include you and me and everybody that we're surrounded with. And every single one of us have known people who would rather tell a lie or believe a lie when the truth is better. You know, everybody has known that.
You know, David, there are people, you know, where lying has really become easy for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost become second nature to them. And I almost believe, David, that there are some people who have lied so much and so often, they have a hard time differentiating between a lie and what is true. It's, in other words, whatever comes out of their mouth is true to them, but in reality, it's a lie. People have been lying so much, it's become such a habit. And, well, David, we see it, as you mentioned, so commonly among our government officials. We see it in the media. It's just taking over. Well, we have an instant here in 1 Kings chapter 22 that's really going to introduce what we're going to talk about in regard to lying tonight. You know, David, back in 1 Kings, we find Israel in a situation where Israel as a nation is divided.
Mm-hmm.
You have Israel, the northern 10 tribes of Israel, then you have the southern two tribes of Judah. There was a division that was brought about earlier in the history in 1 Kings. But they're divided, but they're still brothers, and at times they find the need to work together.
Right.
Well, right here at the situation here in 1 Kings chapter 22, we have Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, who was a good king, a mm-hmm. godly man.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Ahab, who was a bad king, and we know a lot of stories about Ahab and Jezebel from
right.
earlier situations, but he was a very bad king. And we pick up our thoughts here, David, in 1 Kings chapter 22. Why don't you read there for us verses 1 through 8 and kind of set the stage for what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Okay. It says in chapter 22, beginning in verse 1, and I do hope you brought your Bibles tonight. If you're in a position to read your Bibles, take those Bibles and read along with us as we discuss this this valuable piece of information that we find here in the Old Testament that was written for our learning. It says, "And they continued 3 years outside or without war between Syria and Israel. And then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and we take it not out of the hands of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Will you go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And in other words, Jehoshaphat, the good king, is asking Ahab, said, let's go get some authority for what we're about to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then the king of Israel, that would be Ahab, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle? Or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into your hands. Now, these were false prophets that were paid prophets by Ahab that he kept around so that they could tell him what he wanted to hear. And they said, Go right on up, so the Lord will deliver it into your hand. And Jehoshaphat wasn't deceived. And he said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him, that besides all of these guys that you got on your team here? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. He actually rebuked him for talking down about one of God's true prophets. And so he said, yeah, there's a guy here that is a prophet of God, but I hate him because he always prophesies against me.
So what we have here, David, then, is a story of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and Ahab, king of Israel. Ahab wanted to take advantage of this opportunity to get help with capturing Ramoth-Gilead.
Mm-hmm.
He had an opportunity there, and so he wanted to know what the Lord's will was in the matter. Now, mm-hmm. that's a good idea, isn't it, to know what God's will is.
Always get his authority.
Exactly right. And we need to have his authority in all things that we do. Well, Jehoshaphat's wanting what the Lord's will is. Well, here you have Ahab, who's not a godly man like Jehoshaphat is. And Ahab, he calls 400 of his prophets.
Yeah, his own prophets.
And that's kind of telling right there, isn't it, David? His
sure.
own prophets, his prophets. And he asked them, shall I go up? And they said, yes, go on up. And the Lord's going to deliver you in their hand. But what was Jehoshaphat's response to Ahab?
Well, he wasn't deceived by these 400 men at all as being prophets of God. He said, look, King Ahab, is there not a man of God? Is there not a true prophet out there? And he acknowledges that, yes, there is. He says, there is one, but I hate him. His name is Micaiah, and he always prophesies against me. Now, what we can glean from this, Tom, is that his confession, yes, there is a man of God out here, will tell us three pertinent things. Number one, he really doesn't believe in his own prophets, mm-hmm. or he wouldn't have said, yeah, there's another guy out there, but he won't say what they say. And then this is actually a confession of his faith in Micaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And then thirdly, he prefers those who are false to the one who is true.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We've also got a couple of chat rooms going on, one in AnotherTruthRadio.org and one in the Gospel Radio Network. You can also get involved in the conversation that way. You can also email us a question at questions@harrisonmoore.org. We probably won't get to those as quick, but if you want quick response, call us. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You know, David, when we're thinking about this issue of lying, we understand that first and foremost, we must always speak the truth.
Right.
You know, Ahab did not refuse the king's request. He sent for Micaiah. His servant's advice to Micaiah was that the king's prophets speak good with one voice, and you do the same. He's telling, these people are telling Micaiah that, you know, you ought to say some things that's going to be pleasing the king. And isn't it true, David, that we have a lot of people today who only want to speak those things that's going to be pleasant and something that the people want to hear. Isn't that true?
Sure, and these guys are putting a lot of pressure on him because the king, Ahab, sends one of his messengers to go out and get this Micaiah, bring him up there, so he will satisfy Jehoshaphat's request. And when the messenger gets there, he said, look, 400 of us are standing together on this, and we're speaking the things that Ahab likes to hear, and you need to be in there with us.
Mm-hmm.
And Micaiah did not do it. He would not do it. One of the reasons that this guy was saying this, we actually read about over here in the New Testament, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, verses 2 and 3. Well, let's just look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. The people want to hear a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so these guys come up here and they tell Micaiah, they're really putting a lot of pressure on. There's 400 of us here. We're all with one accord, and you need to speak what we speak. And it's interesting, his response to that in verse number 13 of 1 Kings chapter 22. The messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spoke unto him, saying, "Behold, now the words of the prophet declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let your word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them that speaks that which is good." And Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says unto me, that will I speak."
And David, that needs to be our philosophy, mm-hmm. our mentality when it comes to speaking to our fellow man. You know, we are under a lot of pressure. A lot of people are. The demand is great to tell people what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't tell them what they want to hear, if you don't say a thing that's going to make them feel good in their current situation, well, you're going to cause yourself much trouble. And we might find ourselves in a situation, well, what are we to do?
Right.
Well, Micaiah said, what am I to do? Well, he told them what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, he was going to speak what God said. Isn't it interesting, David, that he then goes to the king and he tells the king what he wants to hear?
Mm-hmm.
But what was the king's reaction?
The king didn't believe him. He said, "There is no way that that's right. You never speak right to me.
Right.
You never tell me what I want to hear. There is no way that is right." And Micaiah was just testing him there,
right,
to see where he stood on
exactly
this issue.
Right.
He knew just exactly what he was telling was going to be other than what he wanted to hear. And when he told him, when he tried to tickle his ears just to show him something, he knew it was wrong.
And in Ahab, he knew what was right.
Yes.
And he knew that that can't be right, because Micaiah always tells what the Lord says.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't be in his favor. And so we live in a situation here, David, where people are just given to lies. And we might ask a question here, David. Why is it that liars are so popular in our day?
Well, because nearly everyone likes to be flattered. That's the number one. But back this up just a little bit.
Okay.
We talked about earlier about the politicians,
mm-hmm.
and about our government. And it's very, very difficult to discern what is truth and what is a lie, because we have been told so many lies here in the last several years that it's very, very difficult to know when somebody is telling you the truth. So why are lies so popular from the representatives of the people to the people? Because they are telling the people exactly what they want to hear, not what they need to hear, but what they want to hear. And that's exactly what those 400 hired prophets were doing to the king Ahab.
You know, isn't that a lot like the hireling of John chapter 10,
mm-hmm.
Where he's not willing to stand for what is right and take care of the flock? He's more concerned about his own self.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of preachers are more concerned about their job than they are about the souls of men. And a lot of our politicians are more concerned with their seat than they are what's really best for the people in our nation. And so there's where the lying comes
right.
in.
And people like to hear. They like to be lied to. That's mm-hmm. It's kind of like being attracted by a light if you're a moth.
Yeah.
You know, that people just are attracted to these magnificent lies that are told by politicians and other people, trying to get people to like them or to get on their side. And so nearly everyone likes to be flattered. And so And so they listen to the lies. People like to be complimented. Now, I'll tell you a little side story here. It's always important that we tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Because my wife went down and got her hair cut one time, and it was absolutely horrible. I couldn't believe that she came in the house looking like that. And she was about to cry. And I said, I really like it. But I didn't, and I lied to her. You know what she did the next time she got her hair cut? She did it again just to please me. That's when I had to fess up. I said, I lied to you. I lied to you. And here's the thing. People love to be complimented, mm-hmm. even if it's to their detriment sometimes.
Exactly
they
right.
love to be complimented. And friends, it's not hard to see if it's true, but people don't want to look that hard to find the truth out in it. But truth is absolutely essential. Absolutely essential.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about how that people many times, and it seems like most of the time nowadays, care more about a lie than they do the truth. We've looked at the situation in 1 Kings chapter 22 with Jehoshaphat and Ahab, where Micaiah was a true prophet of God, and he was going to come and preach the truth to them, tell them really what God wanted. But Ahab, he did not really want to believe the truth. He wanted to be lied to, and there are a lot of people today who want to be lied to. And this confession that Micaiah said, I hate him, or what Ahab said to the Lord Micaiah, I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, really tells us that he does not believe his own prophets. And that he is confession of his faith in Micaiah, and that he preferred those who are false to one is true. And these three things, David, are really clearly seen in our world today. People love liars for some reason.
They're
popular. And again, as we just mentioned, one of the reasons is because everybody likes to be flattered. People like to be lied to. Some people are just attracted to a lie. They like to be complimented, even though there is no truth or genuineness in the compliment whatsoever. You know, and a lot of times we really just flat out would have to lie to compliment a situation. And yet that's exactly what a lot of people want.
Yeah, it's what they want, and it's still not right.
That's right.
It is never, ever right. Now, another one of the reasons, Tom, that I think that liars are popular is because the liar will strengthen our decision to do as we please. Now, this is what we saw in the illustration that was given to us, the account that was given to us back there in 1 Kings chapter 22 with Jehoshaphat and Ahab. That lie from all of those 400 prophets actually strengthened his decision to do what was pleasing to him.
Do you think those 400 prophets already knew what he wanted?
Absolutely, they knew what
he wanted. And so they lied to him so that they could strengthen him in his decision, what he really wanted to do. And isn't it true, David, that when we have certain preachers out there in our world today, they know what their listeners want, and so they're lying to them and giving them exactly what they want instead of telling them what they need to hear.
Right. No doubt. And so his 400 prophets agreed with him, but Micaiah did not. One more reason that liars are popular is because liars will help people be comfortable while they are doing whatever it is that they please. If they can just get someone to tell them something that they want to hear, then it's going to make them more comfortable doing what they really want to do, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. Now, there's a lot of things here that we can tie into this, and one of the things that is just eating us alive here in this United States of America is this horrible, horrible thing that we do here that we call abortion. Mm-hmm. This ties into just exactly what we're talking about here, because women go to an abortion clinic. In the United States of America, the number one abortion clinic is Planned Parenthood. Now, that in itself is a distortion of the truth.
It sounds safe, doesn't it?
Oh, it sounds wonderful.
It sounds like something that's going to really help your family.
Yeah, we're going to help you plan to be a good mother. We're going to help you plan to be a good family. We're going to help you plan to do... It doesn't come out there and say that child ever takes a breath of air.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they're telling her. And so they're telling them what they want to hear. This is not really a human being.
Exactly right. And so they're lying to them so that they can feel comfortable in doing what they're doing. You remember, David, one of the reasons why those who were for abortion were so opposed to having sonograms,
mm-hmm.
and them hearing the child's heartbeat, so that those who are about to have the abortion would not know the truth of the situation. They're being told, David, that child in their womb is just a fetus. It's just a piece of flesh. It's not human yet. And so they're lying to that young lady to help her be comfortable in the situation that she's in and what she's about to do.
And the way you do this, you change terminology. It's certainly not a human being. We'll just call that a fetus, even though most people do not know that fetus comes from that Latin word which means baby. Mm-hmm. And the baby and the infant in the Bible is all the same word. It's the same kind of word there. So they change the terminology so that abortion doesn't sound quite as bad as murdering your baby. The partial birth abortion doesn't sound nearly as bad as pulling the baby's head out and stabbing it behind the neck with a pair of scissors and sucking his brains out with a little vacuum cleaner that they have there to do that with. That doesn't sound nearly as bad. And so they just change terminology. One of the most atrocious facts that I've read here lately is that since 1972, when this Roe versus Wade took place, and we now have a law in the United States of America that says it's legal to kill your baby, 358 million infants since 1972 have been destroyed in their mother's womb in China alone.
Mm-hmm.
358 million, and now right here in the United States of America, we are up to 57 million because of lies that were told and women and men that wanted to hear the lie to make them feel comfortable in what they were doing.
Tonight we're talking about lying and how it's affecting our nation morally, how it affects people religiously. Again, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We also have two chat rooms going. We have a chat room taking place on knowthetruthradio.org and also the Gospel Radio Network. We're so happy that we can work together in spreading the gospel and having various venues out there where people, as many as possible, can have a part in hearing and participating in the gospel of Christ. Dave, when we talk about this idea of how that lying can help people feel comfortable in what they're doing, we just got through talking about abortion. But this lying, David, comes across many times in the changing of terminology,
mm-hmm.
so that people can be lied to and shown that it's not really all that bad. And another example of this, the Bible talks about homosexuality as sodomy and things of that nature. And homosexuality now, though, David, is being called gay, there's a changing of terminology so that people say, well, it's not so bad. After all, they're being lied to by that change of terminology.
Well, not only that, this has gone so far as to be promoted even in our schools, in our public school system for kids. I was watching a show last night on television there, and this was actually a commercial. I was trying to figure out what in the world are they trying to advertise here, and it didn't show up until after it was over. But the very first thing it said on there, it says, "Being straight is twisted," and what they're trying to portray there is that if you have the idea that being a homosexual is wrong, then you have a twisted mentality. And it went on to show other things, and it just kept flashing these things on rapid speed. And at the end, it was the advertisement for a hotel in Las Vegas who wanted to attract the gay population of the United States of America. Being straight is twisted. Now, you tell this to children. Do you tell this lie to children over and over and over and over again, and they don't have a standard of truth, Tom? They don't have parents or grandparents that know what the Bible has to say about right and wrong and the discernment of right and wrong. And these kids grow up hearing this all of their life. Well, in 20, 30, 40 years, two generations down the road, we have got an entire population of people who want to look at homosexuality, transsexuality, bisexuality, and think that all of it is okay when none of it is okay except God creating man and woman, man for one woman, one man for one woman for one man. And you talk to people about that today, and they will absolutely laugh and think like they need to be told something different.
Exactly right. You know, and I'm looking up something here right now, David, that Adolf Hitler said about with regard to telling the lies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have it in just a moment. But the whole idea here, David, is that people, they like to believe lies, and it doesn't matter what they're being told. They simply want to be told what they want to hear. Here's what Adolf Hitler said, "By means of shrewd lies, unremittingly repeated, it is possible to make people believe that heaven is hell and hell is heaven. The greater the lie, the more readily it is believed." That's what Adolf Hitler said. And David, that is exactly what we see taking place in our world today with regard to homosexuality, with regard to abortion. And perhaps we're not really going to have time to get into this, but maybe the greatest lie of all times is the lie that we're being told with regard to evolution.
Absolutely. And this thing has been propagated throughout the years, and it is now to the point where people are afraid to say that evolution that is proposed as a theory is false. Mm-hmm. If you say something like that, Tom, you can't get a job at the local university. Mm-hmm. You can't get a job in any higher up places because you don't believe, or you have made the comment that you believe that evolutionary theories are false and they can't be substantiated, which is a true statement in itself. But if you don't believe the lie, then you can't play the game.
And you know what's sad, David, is sometimes when you tell the truth, you suffer the consequences.
No doubt.
Mozilla, that internet thing.
Yeah, the CEO from Mozilla.
Yeah, he had just because, you know, he was opposed to homosexuality,
uh-huh,
and he gave money for to the propagating of same-sex marriage, or a different, you know, husband and wife of different sexes.
Proposition 8 in California.
Yes, and he got in trouble for that. What was it?
50? Six years previously.
Yeah. You know, and people, you know, we got to things with regard to Chick-fil-A and other things like that. where people simply tell the truth, but if they had a total lie, people would have loved to have that. Oh, that's how far we've gotten away from what the Bible has to say about truth and honesty.
And it gets back to what we said. Why are liars popular? Because the liar strengthens our decision to do as we please. And the liar also helps people to be comfortable while they are doing as they please. And this is what we see with homosexuality. It's not called homosexuality. It's not called that. It's called the gay life. Mm-hmm. Now, they have adulterated and hijacked a beautiful word called gay. Mm-hmm. It all that means is happy, and science itself will prove, or factual facts here concerning homosexuality will show, that they're some of the most unhappy people in the world. Mm-hmm. And they don't live very long either.
And very mean-spirited as well.
Exactly.
You know, we think about this idea, David, of lying. We've talked about abortion and homosexuality, but there's another line that takes place with regard to adultery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when a man and a woman marry, they're supposed to be true to one another.
Right.
But in our society today, there's so much of this affair going on, so much of adultery, now they're calling it an affair.
Right.
They're lying to the people, making it think that it's not so bad. Adultery, that's such a harsh-sounding word. Let's say an affair, or let's just say they had a little fling or something of that nature. They're lying so that they will feel comfortable in the evil they're involved in.
Right. Today, especially when we see so many programs on television that promote the Hollywood lifestyle, the popular people in our society are the ones who are on television an awful lot, whether it be a sports hero, or whether it be an acting or an actress hero or heroine, and people look up to these guys and their lifestyle, and they have absolutely no scruples at all. They have absolutely no code of ethics, no standard of right and wrong to go by, because they throw this book completely out of the water. What is truth? We look at John chapter 17, verse 17, we find out what is truth. Mm-hmm. God's word is truth. And they are so far removed from that truth, and so far, the farther that you can get away from God's word being the truth, the better they like it, because it makes them feel comfortable.
Exactly. And that is, again, why the Hollywood community is getting further and further away from the truth of God's word.
And you know something, one of the reasons, and I just want to throw this in here kind of as a side note, one of the reasons that people do not want to get close to the truth is because God's truth will rebuke them. Mm-hmm. And once they find out that God's word will rebuke their lifestyle, they don't want to have anything to do with it. But that's exactly what God's word it does, isn't it?
Exactly right.
Exactly what it does. It is put there to rebuke us and to keep us close to the standard of truth.
You know, in that regard, David, in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 19, it says, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest their works should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been wrought in God."
Right.
And so what they're doing then, David, is they're staying as far away as from that they can from the truth that exposes them for what mm-hmm. they really are, and lies to the people to keep people further away from the truth of God's word.
And if you just change the terminology, it doesn't even sound like a lie.
Oh, yeah. It makes it a lot easier, doesn't it?
It makes it a whole lot easier. And for those of you who are listening out there that would like to chime in here and give us your opinion on some of this stuff, we would encourage you to pick up the telephone and call us. It's a toll-free number, 1-855, and then spell out the word Q as in question, A as in answers, B 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We have the number up on both chat boxes, the KnowTheTruthRadio.org chat box and also the Gospel Radio box. Also, the number to call is up there. You can get on either one of those chat boxes and get in on the discussion. We would encourage you to do so. We're talking about why liars are so popular. And we have covered several things. We do know that we looked at an account in 1 Kings chapter 22, the account of Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Ahab wanted to hear a lie. Mm-hmm. He was offered the truth, and he says, he hates me. It wasn't Micaiah that was doing the hating. It was the word of God that was rebuking him that he hated to hear. Mm-hmm. And Micaiah stood strong, even with the peer pressure of 400 other people who called themselves prophets, says, here's where we stand, and you need to stand with us. He said, no. As the Lord speaks, so shall I speak. And that's just exactly what he did. And that's just exactly what we should do. We should always look to the Lord for our authority and for the truth. And we always need to put it out there like it is. Because Isaiah gives us a warning in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. He says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight.
Exactly right. Now, David, right about now, we probably have a lot of people out there in our audience who are saying, sick 'em, preachers, you're right on target. We ought to be condemning those things that are lies, and anybody who's telling a lie, they need to be exposed in these things. But, David, in the denominational world,
mm-hmm.
Now the word denominational means a part of the whole. We have a lot of people out there in the denominational world who are preaching things that people want to hear instead of preaching the things that God's Word has to say. And so, in essence, they too are lying to the people because they're giving them false hope. They're telling them things that are maybe not giving them the whole picture,
mm-hmm.
and in that essence are lying to them, or sometimes just flat out, bald faced lying to the people. And there are a lot of examples like that out there in the world. Let me give you an example. David, there was a lady who came to my office quite a while back, and she had a situation in her life that was not right with God, and she was worried about it, and I told her that it was wrong. The Bible says that you ought not to be involved in that situation. And she realized it because she was crying. But she turned right around and went to various religious organizations in the community till she found a place that would accept her as she was in her sin. She kept going around till she found somebody who would lie to her.
Mm-hmm.
And David, there are more times than we would like to think about that's taking place in our world.
No doubt. What happens, people want to feel comfortable in the situation that they choose to be comfortable in. And so when we look at the question, you remember the question that came to us at the end of our program last week. Let me repeat the question. The questioner, or the one who submitted the question, said, and he quoted Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Lord adds one to the church in scriptural baptism. Mm-hmm. There in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says there, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, the question that he asked was this: what church does the Lord add one to who is not scripturally baptized? Now, those in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38 and following were scripturally baptized. They were baptized according to the revealed word of God, and they met the terms of salvation that God had set forth, mm-hmm. in Acts chapter 2 verse 38 when they asked the question, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That was a term. term.
And notice they were added to the Lord's church. They were not added to a denomination or any kind of man-made institution.
No.
It was to the Lord's church. And so if a person is unscripturally baptized, in reality, David, they're not added to anything spiritually.
No.
Scripturally.
Well, you look at the situation there in Acts chapter 2. It says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Mm-hmm. Now, Tom, I got a question for you. Did God make a mistake and not add all of the saved to the Lord's church?
If they're saved, God's going to add them, right?
He put them there. Did he make a mistake in adding someone that was not scripturally baptized and not saved? Did he add them to the Lord's church?
God's not going to make a mistake. As a matter of fact, you know, God knows those who are his.
No doubt about it.
And so he's not going to make a mistake in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know then, David, that the Lord is going to add only those to his church, those who have been scripturally baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins, Acts 2 and verse 38, which salvation comes at baptism and not previous. You know, one of the problems is, David, is that people are being lied to.
Mm-hmm.
And they are being told time and time again that baptism is not essential to salvation, and that only not only that, that you join the church.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
They're being lied to. You know, David, when we think about this idea of baptism, Jesus Christ himself said in Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, if you believe that salvation comes before baptism, then you are being told a lie, because Jesus says salvation comes at the point of submitting faithfully to baptism.
No doubt. And people wonder, where in the world does it say baptism now saves you? There are several places, but if you want to get it specifically, you can go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, where we are told there, the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us.
Mm-hmm.
Baptism. And so it's very important that we understand scriptural baptism puts you in the scriptural church for which the scriptural Jesus Christ died. Now, we need to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't understand that, then we can succumb to a lie and be told a lie and think that we're saved when we're not.
Exactly right.
There's another thing that I would really like to jump on right before we run out of time. We've got 12 minutes left here, and some of our chat box members are hitting on this already. We had talked about it earlier. There is another lie that is being told all over the denominational world that once you're saved, you cannot be lost. The doctrine is called the impossibility of apostasy, the impossibility of falling away.
Mm-hmm.
And we have many scriptures that we could go to, but we want to go to one in specific tonight.
You know, before we get right there, David, you know, you look at all of the passages in the Bible about this issue, and it's amazing to me how someone can believe a lie about this, because nearly on every page of the New Testament, there is some direct statement or some allusion to the very thought that a person can fall from the grace of God.
Right.
And a really good passage, and I guess you're there right now,
yeah,
David.
I'm here.
A really good passage that really points us out very clearly is found in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1. And I guess
two.
You'll back up to our chapter 5 and verse what?
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2. Yeah, I got it on the wrong page here. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And also the last verse of chapter 1 also kind of sets the stage for that.
Absolutely. You see, because when we get to chapter 2, the introduction to the letter to the Hebrews, these would be the Jewish converts, the individuals who repented and they turned from their Judaism to Christianity. This is after the introduction, and after the introduction to Jesus the Christ, the great high priest, he says there in verse number 14, he says, for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's how he ends that chapter. Now, mm-hmm. chapter 2 begins with the word therefore. Mm-hmm. Now, that word therefore, Tom, does it not mean that that's talking about those things that were said previous
exactly.
to this yep. are going to have everything to do with what follows?
It connects what was behind with what is ahead.
Okay, so he says, therefore, because we are going to inherit salvation, only Christians are saved, only Christians are going to inherit salvation. It says, because we are going to inherit salvation, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or drift away from them.
You know, if it is true that a person cannot fall from grace, why then is a Hebrew writer warning them not to let your salvation slip?
Now, there is no reason for him to do
People
that.
People are being told a lie by many in the denominational world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another passage, David, that we could look at in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20, it says, For if after ye have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he's talking there, David, about people who have become Christians.
Absolutely.
They have escaped the pollutions of the world. And then he says,
there's only one way you can do that, and that is to have your sins washed away in baptism.
Exactly right. And they are again entangled therein, overcome. The last state has become worse with them than the first, for it is better for them not to have known the way of salvation than knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and a sow that is washed to wallowing in the mire. Here we see a very clear passage, David, about one who has come to the knowledge of truth, who's been baptized into Christ with the remission of sins. He says if they turn back from that truth, they're in a worse state than they were beforehand.
And it's very telling here how they got that idea from reading verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
It says, while they, the false teachers, the ones that are telling the lies, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption.
They were telling lie, promising them that you cannot be lost. You know how powerful, David, is the scripture in showing us exactly that the ways of man are false. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, Proverbs 14
mm-hmm.
and verse 12. And, you know, and not only this, David, there is a very, very clear passage in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4
right.
that really declares beyond a shadow of a doubt that anyone who is saying that you can be saved and never to be lost is clearly lying. In that context, he says in Galatians 5 and verse 4, he says, ye are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law, ye are fallen away from grace.
Wow.
Now, fallen away from grace. Now, but to help us to understand that, David, he says, you who would be justified by the law. What law was he talking about?
He was talking about the law of Moses.
And so he's saying then, if you try to go back and live by the law of Moses while you're a Christian, then you can what? Fall from grace. Well, what does that mean? That means once saved, always saved is false. Because if you can, no matter what you do, you cannot be lost. Well, you could go and do anything you wanted to.
Sure.
But Paul says here, you can fall from grace.
You can fall from
and
grace.
And he warned them right there of that very thing.
No doubt. So what we have seen is that liars are very, very popular. People love to be lied to. They feel very, very comfortable in their decisions once they are lied to. They feel comfortable in being able to do what they please. They go around. They try to find a religious organization that tells them what they want to hear so that they can live in comfort with a lie. And deep down inside, they know the truth.
If I were a doctor
mm-hmm.
and you had a disease that needed to be cured, and I lied to you and told you that everything was fine and you didn't have to worry about it, what would you do?
Oh, I'd be angry once I found out about
it. But what if you didn't find out?
If I didn't find out about it, I'd die.
You would die, and you would just think everything was just all right, right?
Absolutely.
Because a doctor lied to you. My friends out there in the audience today, whether you're listening on the radio or internet radio, there are people out there who are lying to you, and you need to open your Bibles and go to the Word of God to make sure what's being told are true. Some people are flat out lying. Some people, David, do it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Some people unknowingly do it.
Right.
But a lie is a lie, and we need to open our Bibles. Well, don't we need to be like those Bereans in Acts 17, verse 11? To make sure the things that were being taught were so. And what's amazing to me, David, who were they checking out that day?
They were checking out Paul the Apostle.
And so if they thought it was important to check out then to make sure that they were not being lied to, what difference is there for us today? We need to be doing the same thing.
Absolutely. Now, one thing we need to gather out of all of this is just because somebody tells us a lie, it will not change the truth.
Exactly,
this is what
right.
we saw in the account with Ahab and Micaiah, the true prophet, telling him not what he wanted to hear, but what God said. He refused to believe it, but it did not change the truth. And people today are believing a lie, but it doesn't change the truth. You can believe it just as hard as you want to. It will not change the truth. Now, Ahab became angry with the prophet, and he put him in prison. But that truth is still the truth, and just because he's in prison is not going to change the fact that he still told the truth.
You remember back in the book of Genesis when Jacob thought that his son Joseph was dead?
Right.
He was told a lie by his sons, and Jacob did what? He believed it.
Yeah.
With all of his heart, but it was a lie. You know, and there are a lot of people today who believe something with all of their heart, but they've been told a lie.
He believed it so much that he refused to be comforted. He mourned and mourned and mourned and refused to be comforted because he wanted to mourn for that lost son. And yet he was not dead. He was very much alive, but he was told something that was a lie, and it was a very, very believable lie coming from someone that he trusted, his own 10 sons,
mm-hmm.
all in conjunction one with the other in the lie.
You know, and we've got to realize, David, that sometimes people are willing to believe a lie because they're afraid of the truth. And how often, David, is it true that people, they are afraid of knowing what the Bible says about baptism, and so they will just continually believe a lie. They don't want to believe that it takes more than simply believing in Jesus, and so they'll just simply do what they want, what they've been told. You know, when we look at this idea, David, of lying, we have about 30 seconds left. Lying began in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? With
mm-hmm.
Satan lying to Eve. Eve believing the lie, and there was eternal consequences involved. When we believe a lie, there are eternal consequences involved.
Right. Well, it's been great tonight. We appreciate all of the comments on the chat box. We still have a telephone. It's still a toll-free number, and we want to encourage you next week to call in. We already have a good question on the chat box for next week. We will address that. We can't get to all of them. But we want to encourage you to stay tuned for Searching God's Word and Steve Weeks. And we want to thank the listeners, thank the people who commented on the chat box, and we want to, God bless you for reading your Bible, and God bless America. Tom?
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
All right, you're clear.
All right, see you next time.